Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. The Premier League, my God. My God. What a weekend. What a bloody weekend. I've had a pretty good one. People saying, how come you're not running on the weekends anymore? How, where's the long runs? How come you're only doing 10 kilometers? So, look, I was supposed to do 100 kilometers or 100 miles in a week or so. But then some work came up. So I had to pull out of the race because I've got to earn some money, you know what I mean? So I'm working. I'm working. Keep your eyes peeled. That's going to be fun. It's work in Europe. I might not have to travel for it, but it's work in Europe. So we'll see. We'll see. That work only comes out, I think, in June, July. But I've got work. So, can't be running 100 miles while I'm trying to earn euros. You know what I mean? Can't happen. Can't do it at the same time. I'm not a professional runner. I'm not a professional runner. Hope you're doing well, whatever you're up to. Whoever you're up to. Hey, how's it? Whoever you're up to. So you would have done that. You see what I've done. I had an impromptu. So I live close to where I used to work at an agency. I worked at an agency for the last year or so, or a year ago, let's just say. It's more than a year ago, but I left in June last year. Anywho, I used to work there, blah, blah, blah. The people I used to work with. I live close to that place still. And I was taking a walk around the block. And they were at the restaurant and they're like, hey, woo, hey. So-and-so's farewell. Walked in there. Man, oh man. You know, some of the stories you hear about people's relationships and just what people are up to. It's like, oh my God. Like, how is that much happening in one relationship? Like, is that happening in everyone's relationship? And then you think to yourself, maybe it's a good thing. I'm an unpleasant bastard and I'm single. But then you think to yourself, you got to take the risk. But then you hear these stories and you think, do you? Do you need to take the risk? My word. There's so much happening in people's lives. You know, this lady was explaining her story. So much is happening. And it's been like, my word. It's like 7 years. But it felt like the amount of stuff that has happened in a 30-year relationship. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I'll give you a little snippet. This lady, she's like, her man was unbelievable. Her man was having a relationship or was having adult times, the sex, with the 18-year-old girl who lived downstairs from their apartment. And the way she found out was that this girl's mom came and confronted her and said, hey, you need to tell your man to stop sticking his piece in my young girl's body, because this 18-year-old already had a baby with someone else. And when you're at work, He's doing the horizontal shuffle with my 18-year-old daughter. Like, imagine someone coming to your house and now you live in a complex. Like, they live downstairs. So, like, this, now you're going to see this 18-year-old every now and then, who was already a baby mama. But her man was having an affair with that person. Like, imagine. That's just one of the, I mean, of the dynamics she told us, that was one of like 15 dynamics. How insane is that? I mean, whatever. The cheating thing, like, you know, people are going to people. But the 18-year-old downstairs, you know, a friend of mine, this woman who I respect more than, you know, I respect him. And my friend, my best friend once said this to me. He said it in a better way. But she knew that her husband cheated on her. And maybe this is some advice if you're considering getting married. This is the reality of life. And just to be clear, this woman is white. Because there's obviously the stereotype is that, oh, black men like to be out there. Like, turns out everyone's cheating. Like, now that we know more, it is just a racist stereotype. Everyone's at it. So think about guys, eh? If you're gonna offer guys sex, more likely than not, they're gonna take it. The old adage is, ladies, if you are married, or if you got a man, let me tell you this from a man's perspective. Like it or not, unmet needs will be met. I know. Everyone's supposed to be perfect, like Instagram people. Everyone on Twitter is perfect. Human beings aren't perfect, but unmet needs will be met is all I'm going to say. If you're going to go that way and get married. But this woman said to me, and she's still with the guy, by the way, and to be honest, I don't think he knows or she's never whinged about it. We're just very close. She's 10 years older than me, so about 48, 49. But we've been close for a long time through mutual friends. And she said to me, it's not that he cheated. That obviously is painful for its own reasons. But it was that he didn't respect her enough to hide it better. Like, to at least just put in the effort to not let that come and break the household. Because there's kids involved, you know. You don't need that. Like, if you're going to do your thing, in her mind, now, keep in mind, I'm not saying this. I'm not a woman in a relationship with anybody. I'm saying this is what a woman with kids and a marriage and a family told me. So it was the fact that she felt as though if she knew, other people knew. And she didn't like looking like a fool. And my friend, my best mate, always used to say a very similar thing. But he used to say, literally, it's not that you cheated. It's that you didn't hide it, you know. And I'd always thought, what does he mean? But the more I've gotten older, and he used to say it when we were younger. Like, he's, you know, good-looking guy, doing well, and wise. He used to say it to me. And I used to think, is this guy mad? But as I've been getting older, I've like, oh, I see what he means. And someone I respected said it to me. So that's my thing with this one. Like, she lives downstairs now. This 18-year-old lives downstairs. What is this woman feeling like once she's been confronted with this situation? Because in that situation, oh my goodness, I got, so also, the security guard at her complex, and you know, security guards like to gossip, like, if you start to talk to them, says he found out, because, you know, in South African complexes, if you don't live in South Africa, is when they're doing their rounds, they kind of have to, I think there's an infrared kind of pole where they've got a metal stick where they've got to check in kind of thing just to say they've done their rounds. And they didn't close the window and the security guard saw them and he reported back to her and she didn't believe the security guard. You know, it was just like, you guys like to talk a lot. And then eventually this 18-year-old's mom came and confronted. That, I think the worst part for her is like, oh, wait, now the security guards know. Like, I'm a fool in front of these security guards. And if they know, people talk, by the way. There's no way they haven't told other people in the complex. And if the mom knows, other people know. Like, if the mom's seeing it, the mother knows, other people have seen it. And if he's being callous enough, like, not closing the windows, doing it at home, that for me is unbelievable. Like, doing it, you know, to do it when you cheat in your marital bed, I think that's like a whole nother level. Because that's almost like, oh, I'm desperate to get caught. I'm like, I want out of this relationship sort of thing, you know? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Unbelievable. And I'm just telling you one part, like I'm saying, 15, maybe 20 scenarios she was explaining to us that are going on just in her relationship. Holy cannoli. Holy cannoli. I said to her, obviously, not an easy situation. I'm like, have you considered, is temp, which if you don't know, it's really to enter a polygamous relationship where all the wives know each other. So it's a Zulu, it's the Zulu setup. But I mean, there's lots of cultures who have it. You know, one husband, five wives, six wives, however many wives you want. Arabic people do it. I'm thinking, you know. So, and we discussed that. Inconclusive. Let's just say on that front. Inconclusive. But how about that? How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Anyway, sports show. What are we talking about today? Right, wrong. Tell you where I was right. Tell you where I was wrong. Do that every single Monday. And then I want to tell you, after watching Manchester United nearly throw it away against Coventry, I want to tell you why they have to. Now they have to. Like, the players have shown you, you have to keep Erik ten Hag. I'll give you my reasons why I think that should be what happens. All right, let's get into the show. You know what I saw, Ham? I want to start off on the Nottingham Forest. There was a post. So Nottingham Forest lost to Everton. Obviously, relegation battle. It's close. And there were three decisions. I want to read you the social media post by Nottingham Forest's official page. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL, that's the Premier League Referees Association or whatever. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest Football Club will now consider its options. Now, I think what they meant by VAR is that the person running VAR. Here's the thing that made me laugh immediately. Before I got logical about it, I laughed. This felt like it got written by the owner. So he's Greek. He's the guy who came on the field a while back. Like, you cannot, the Premier League cannot tolerate this guy. And, but up front when I laughed, I was like, oh, I'm English second language. I know when somebody who doesn't speak English as their first language. This wasn't written by the social media or the PR company who runs the social media account. This was written by somebody who's a second language English speaker. The grammar is all over the place. So for you to write that, first of all, is outrageous. I'll get to why I think it's actually horrendous for everybody. But for anyone to think that's okay to put out in that tone is hysterical. In one of the most sophisticated business environments in the world, the English Premier League, this is not your mate's pub. This is not League Two. This is not the Greek League. But I genuinely think the owner wrote that himself. I don't think this was written by the social media team. This was either dictated or written by the owner himself. I think he's got access to the social media page. There's no ways. There is absolutely no ways, number one, an English speaker would write like that. And number two, it sounds like a person said that. It doesn't sound like a line from a football club, from executives going out as PR messaging about their next steps, about being unfairly treated. Now, I would say two of the decisions were definitely penalties. There were two penalties for the two fouls. I think the handball, Ashley Young's turning around. I don't know what he's supposed to do at point blank range when it's that close. Because what happens is they switch the ball into the box from the right to Everton's right. So Nottingham Forest switched the ball from their right, essentially, to their left. And Ashley Young, it goes over his head. He's playing right back. And as he turns around, it's like kind of like a first-time cross from their left winger, and it hits him on the arm. So it's that one for me, but the other two are fouls. I mean, he fouls Callum Hudson-Odoi terribly, and then there's another foul. Don't know who the guy is he fouls there. Those two were Stonewall. But this tone is hilarious. I saw Gary Neville said it sounds like the Mafia. It does have that tone, which is why it makes me think, you know, these Greek owners are a lot of them in the league, and he does own, they've had to, it's the same as Turkey. Multiple times have the Greek league has had to be stopped because these owners are marching on the field to the referee. Like, what are we doing? That's fine in that environment. Like no one in Greece pays their taxes. That's why their economy collapsed. It's like, that's not a serious country. A friend of mine has always said to me, Italy and Greece are the Africa of Europe, which I find hysterical up front, and then I get offended on the back end. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm from Africa. That's terrible as a joke. Terrible. It's an amalgamation of terrible and brilliant. But yeah, I just thought to myself, this is hysterical. This was written. It's written from a person's point of view as well. It's hysterical. But here's why I think it's poor from a business point of view. The whole backbone of the Premier League is that it is the best competition with integrity. So if you look at Serie A, the reason why it sucks and nobody cares about it and no sponsors want to sponsor it is that there is no integrity. Calciopoli, the match fixing, Juventus recently. Italian football has always had that thing. I mean, the Mafia has been involved forever and still continues to be involved. So corporates don't want that. Gambling companies are not interested in that. Those big corporates, Emirates, are not interested in getting involved in that. Right? This is why the Man City thing is such a big problem. And I would say the Man City thing is not even that big of a problem because that's a financial doping. It's not manipulating the results of the games. Like, the players still have to go play the games. But what Nottingham Forest are suggesting here is that the referees, right, are literally biased and are making decisions that are based on their bias. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. You know, I think you've got to be careful here, because once you start to suggest this, is you start to eat away at the integrity of the Premier League. And now this is why you do a fit and proper persons test. This is why CEOs have to be run through the mill. And this is why you get, in countries across the world, people that are labeled as unfit to be CEOs. Maybe people don't understand why. Is that there is certain decorum that you have to maintain in companies that, for instance, are listed. You can't just go talking crazy, right? Because you don't just affect yourself. These are things on the stock market. The English Premier League, when people don't feel like there's integrity, it's not just the league that's being affected. These sponsors are conglomerates from across the world. These are multinational companies that are listed on multiple stock exchanges. So when you suggest there's no integrity in the Premier League, you're affecting the validity of these sponsors. And what that does is affect the bottom line. But not only are you doing that, you're actually affecting the whole English football Premier League. You're affecting the entire English football pyramid, because when you tear away at the integrity, everybody loses. Because if the Premier League's corrupt, the logical assumption is the Championship's corrupt. And if the Championship, and then everyone loses, because money from the Premier League, whether you like it or not, trickles down the league. And, you know, there's a thought methodology, right? Something called Handlin's Razor. Maybe you've heard it before. But essentially, what Handlin's Razor, I'll say it the best I can. I can't quite... I'll say it the best I can. But essentially, what Handlin's Razor says is basically, never attribute to malice that which can be sort of adequately explained by stupidity. That is to say, don't think somebody is being, you know, it's like saying the Illuminati. Like, no. Politicians are just idiots. And rich people just serve themselves. Like, you don't need the conspiracy theory. Handlin's Razor says, no, just cut the nonsense. Don't worry about the conspiracy theory. You know? So don't attribute to malice what can be very easily and adequately explained by just pure stupidity. My point is, in this case, the ref's not cheating. They're just making bad decisions. And by the way, like, I know it's cool to say, but actually the English Premier League reffing is good. It is very good. It's just that now what's happened, and I said this years ago when they brought in VAR, is we're seeking perfection and not high levels of refereeing. The Premier League reffing is bloody good. It is so good. I've watched these other leagues. I watched the Champions League. The Premier League reffing is on another level. But for me, the most dangerous thing is when Nottingham Forest are suggesting the integrity of the league, the integrity of the referee, then you're starting to affect everybody. And this is why you can't conduct yourself like this. This is why you must conduct yourself like a listed company, because that's what the Premier League is. It's a multi-billion dollar organization that doesn't just affect Nottingham Forest. You can't behave like this. You cannot. Listen, Elon Musk can do it because he's doing his own thing. He's a gajillionaire and he doesn't need to worry about shareholders of Tesla. He doesn't give a crap. But Tim Cook doesn't do this. Bill Gates doesn't do this. Right? Like the NFL guys. Roger Goodell doesn't do this. No way. Richard Masters. He does not say anything about the Premier League. You cannot behave like this, because they understand what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And the goose in this case is integrity. High level competition, integrity. That's why Chelsea cannot afford to behave the way Nottingham Forest did about the handball with Jack Grealish. You complain, you take the fine, but you move on. What you don't do is suggest that the referee is cheating, because that's what Nottingham Forest are saying. And that's bad for everyone. So that I don't like. If anything, you know, if I'm the Premier League, this is seriously worth considering another points deduction. Because if you attack the integrity of the league, you're attacking everyone's money now. Because if I'm Microsoft, or whoever, let's just use Microsoft, and we go, are they? Is that guy a Luton fan? Well, so if that's happened, then where else is that happening? You know how people think. And there's nothing corporates hate more than controversy. They do not, like, Corporates are not built to deal with controversy. What they like is profit making. They are not in the business. They are not in the business of dealing with any pushback. They just want to make products, sell them to you, and keep it moving. So I think Nottingham Forest, if I'm the Premier League, this is a step too far. Because when the guy came down and he wanted to fight the referee, I don't know if you've seen it, but go Nottingham Forest owner. I mean, when he did that, they didn't stop him. And I thought, ooh, this is a problem. I thought, this is a problem. And if they should have stopped him then. He's a madman, this guy. Evangelos Marinakis. That's the guy's name. If you look at him, he looks like a thug. He looks like an overweight thug. And, you can't do this. And it feels like Evangelos actually typed this message himself. I'd love to know what people think, but for me, it's like in the NBA, that they just banned a guy now for betting against his own team to lose and tipping off a betting guy. And, people always say, oh, but it's so unfair. The betting companies get involved in football, but the players don't get a profit of it. I say, yes, they do. That's why you can earn £400,000 a week, because, Hollywood Bet is going to sponsor people. 10Bet are going to put in millions of pounds. Whoever it is, the Emirates is willing to put 50 million. So, yes, you do benefit from sports gambling, because those companies are paying hundreds of millions of pounds to sport. Now, in the Premier League, you can't have it on the shirt anymore. It can't be main sponsor, but it'll still be involved, right? These companies are paying hundreds of millions of pounds to be on the sideboards. So the players do get a cut, because the money comes to the clubs and then goes to them. These gambling companies pay Sky Sports. Those billions go to the players. Where else do people think it's going? That money stays in the game. So the idea that players don't get to share in that is ridiculous. But this guy in the NBA got banned for life. Porter Jr., he got banned for life, 24 years old. Banned for life for betting on his own team to lose. And essentially there was some other stuff that he did that was flagged. But he was feeding information to betting people. And, then delivering on that, which you just cannot do. So he's been banned for life, which I think is the way to do it. So I would say the Premier League has two options. I would consider a points deduction, right? Forget about the financial thing. It doesn't matter what people say. If you're going to attack the money, because you're going to attack anything about the Premier League. I don't think they mind about a bit of banter, a bit of, hey, we're not happy about this. We're not happy about the financial PSR, whatever. Now you're attacking the thing that makes us money. Is we are the number one competition with the highest integrity in the world. Now you start to attack our money. Because corporates won't believe in that. I would give number one a points deduction. I would seriously consider a 2-3 point points deduction for this insinuation, unless there is an official apology, right, to the PGMOL and the Premier League, and it must state clearly that we apologize, and any suggestion that the Premier League's integrity isn't the highest order, if anybody felt there was that suggestion, we apologize profusely. Nottingham Forest could have dealt with this in a better way. Because nobody's saying Nottingham Forest wrong. What we're saying is don't ruin it for everyone. If I'm the Premier League. So that would be my one thing. The second one, which I think they are going to do. They're going to look to find a way to force this owner to sell. Because when he came on the field, that's one thing. But when you start to use these tactics of starting to try to bully the Premier League and make these, because this is an egregious, this is a heinous allegation. And it's out there forever now. That's the thing about the internet. Like, even if they take the tweet down, it's out there forever. To behave like this, this is why the NFL owners don't like other people. This is why rich people don't like to hang out with poor people. And I'm not being callous or funny, because I come from a poor family. Like, but this is why billionaires, even if they hate each other, they'd rather hang out with another billionaire. You know why? Because they know that I can work with this person. We're working off the same page. We're both after the money here. And I can sort of predict what this person's behavior is going to be in every situation. Plus, we kind of closed the loop and we got some rules here to say, we can attack everything, right? Not the money, not the golden egg. Everything else is on the table, guys. We can banter each other. You can do whatever you want. You can talk smack about me and my wife. Do not attack the money. And that's what Nottingham Forest are doing. You may not see it now, but I'm telling you, integrity is the only reason. Ask Syria. And there's a reason why La Liga is going to be in trouble with this Barcelona situation if anything else comes out, is that if Barcelona were paying those refs and that comes true, you've got massive problems. You've got massive problems on the integrity. Look at Serie A. It's a joke. Nobody will touch Serie A. Nobody will touch it. That's why nobody wants to pay for it. No one wants to buy it. It's not on any channels. I mean, it's on, in my country, on Supersport, but on like channel 850. You can't find it. There's no marketing. They have no money. They can't buy anybody. Because nobody trusts that the competition is free and fair. And if I'm the English Premier League, I work seriously on creating a constructive dismissal case on this Nottingham Forest guy. Once is fine. I've always told you my feelings on divorce. Right? And I try to have this attitude with people. I don't mind one mistake. I don't even mind two mistakes. Right? Because first divorce, you know, listen, you got married too young. Second divorce, you probably had some baggage, stuff happens. You know how it goes. You carry some baggage into the next relationship. They weren't ready. They had kids. Third divorce, that's a you problem. I think the Premier League will go, okay, when he came on the field and threatened the ref physically, okay, we'll forgive that. Now he's attacking the integrity of the league, number two. What's next? And what these big boys do is they don't like to play around and they have no problem with trying to be popular. They're going to make the money decision. So what they probably hope, you're not the best will be for the Premier League. Nottingham Forest get relegated. Because then they don't have to deal with this guy. However, I would say, and corporates do this all the time, by the way, constructive dismissal of this guy will be the next mission. Because what they'll do is they'll take it to the big six. They will. Trust me. If you don't think they'll do it, they will do it. Because one thing the big six have shown you is we run the league. Especially after the Super League thing. So what they'll do is they'll take it to the big six and the traditional clubs. And they'll say, gentlemen, your thoughts. How do we move forward here? Do you guys know anybody who'd buy Nottingham Forest? They will table everything. They will game every scenario. They will run every scenario to get rid of this guy because this guy's messing up our money. That's all they care about. Please, please don't think these owners care about your football club. Like Roman Abramovich is one of one. I don't know any of these other owners. I love the Coventry guy in the United game. Like he's actually a Coventry fan. And he saved them from the doldrums. But of the top six clubs in England, the traditional big six, not one of those owners give a damn about those clubs. What they are is, I mean, the English Premier League is a money printing machine. Do you know the last team in the English Premier League, just purely prize money for being in the league, makes more money than Barcelona, right, made in their treble season years ago when they won the treble and the real treble, not the Liverpool treble. So the league, the cup and the Champions League. The team that comes last in the Premier League makes so much money, they make more money than Barcelona got for winning the treble. The team that comes last, 20th in the Premier League. Forget the television prize money. I'm just talking about money for where they come in the league. Forget the bonuses, because there's television bonuses, there's appearance bonuses. So forget about all the tour bonuses and stuff like that. I'm saying just the prize money from the Premier League for when you come in the league was, it was almost double. I looked at it. It was almost double what Barcelona got in the season they won the treble. So the team that comes last in the Premier League will get more than double what the La Liga winning team will get, which is the second biggest league. How insane is that? That we can't attack. You got to get this. You got to get Evangelos out. You just cannot. It's a corporate business now. These are listed companies, essentially. That's what Man United are. That's what Chelsea are. These are sophisticated companies. You can't have thugs. Sorry. And this is why poor people don't get in. Because you can't behave like this, my man. This ain't the streets, buddy. You can't behave. It's not some Greek tavern, mate. This is not Greece where you're not allowed to pay your taxes and you get away with it. And Germany will fund it. No. Todd Boehly and those boys, we aren't paying that. The Liverpool guys aren't playing that. These are high-level billionaires that understand the New York. These guys are listed on the New York stock market. They're not running a fishery in Athens. No. He's got to go. He's attacking the money. He's attacking the money. All right. Well, Arsenal lost to Bayern. Just wanted to address this quickly. They're not a big club. Like, we must stop this with Arsenal. You know, they're a romantic club. They are. They're a nice organization. I like Arsenal. But they're not a big club. No Champions Leagues. And this is what they are now. Like, people need to accept that about Arsenal. Stop putting Arsenal in the conversation with, like, Chelsea and Man United and Liverpool. Like, as a modern day organization, they haven't won the league in 20 years. And they don't win the Champions League. Sorry. Sorry, as they say in Canada. Stop telling me Arsenal are a big club, please. Are they a fine establishment? Are they a deeply historical establishment? Are they one of the bedrocks of English football? Were they invincible 20 plus years ago? All those things are true. But the creme de la creme is Man United at the very, very top. All right. Second to that is Liverpool. Third to that is Chelsea. Fourth to that is Man City. In the modern day. That's just how it is. That's how it goes. Man United. I would say Chelsea second, but realistically, Liverpool. Chelsea. Those are the teams. Three Champions League titles Liverpool have got in the last 20 years. Two. There's two or three. 2005, they got that one, and then Jürgen's one. So it's two. Chelsea have two in the last decade. Man United. Come on. Treble winners. It's been a rough decade, but they're boys. And City have now won a Champions League. Well, TBD. Put the asterisk next to it. 115 charges, if you know. But I'm sick and tired of Arsenal fans telling me what a big club they are. They talk like they've done something. Like you haven't won the league since I was in high school. I'm about to turn 38 years old. That's 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Thierry Henry's a pundit now. Wayne Rooney won so many titles. Wayne Rooney's won everything since Arsenal have won it and become an obese guy who hurt his back walking or whatever he was doing on holiday. Gee, he's aged badly. Wow. Wowzers, Rooney. But I'm done with Arsenal. So I just wanted to address that. Like, I'm done with Arsenal. What they are is just a rich Tottenham now, you know? Like, come on, guys. I mean, it's my feeling about Liverpool, to be honest with you. It's just Liverpool has better PR. But I'm done with Arsenal. Like, Liverpool can at least show me a Champions League and a league title in the last decade. I mean, it's one in 30 years, which is essentially where Arsenal are about to be. But stop telling me Arsenal are a big club. Are they a nice club? Yes. You know what they are? They're a big club. They're not an elite club. Elite clubs win Champions Leagues. Or at least get to in the mix often. Like Man United got to Champions Leagues recently, a decade ago, decade plus. They were losing Champions League finals, winning the Champions League. So, ain't going to work. Not with me. They lost to Bayern again. It's not good enough. But don't act surprised. Why do people go, oh, I can't believe Arsenal lost to a terrible Bayern, by the way. This is the worst Bayern I've seen in years. Terrible Bayern team. But as an Arsenal fan, just relax. Just relax. Go and play with Tottenham and these smaller Nyana organizations. They're not going to win the league. Forget about that. Get that out your head. Get that out your head right now. MKT at the MKT show. Otherwise, MKT Inspires if you want to slide in the DMs. You know, mailbag. Get in the mailbag. I'll have a mailbag on Wednesday. I've got two great questions. I'll address the one, which I think is great. A friend of mine sent me a voice note. We'll address that on the Wednesday show. We'll be back twice a week this week. There is no Champions League, so we'll make sure to get to that on Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day, whatever you're doing. It's surprisingly balmy in the Republic of South Africa. This week, I'm about to start organizing some European travel. So I'm going to flesh out some plans about what my Northern Hemisphere summer is going to look like. I will be in Europe. So if you live in Europe, shout out. You know, particularly if you're in Germany and France, hit me up, slide in the DMs. In fact, I'll be in London just before I get to Germany. I'll be in London the week of the 8th of June. We're in London, aren't we? Anyway, I'll be in London soon. Month and a bit. So I'll be in London, I think from the beginning of June. I'm not sure yet. Maybe I'll just pop in for the baseball on the 8th. Not sure yet. But I'll be in London for a little while. And then we're at the Euros. Then I'm in Germany. And then I'm in Paris. So basically, from June till August, I'm in Europe. If you're in Europe, shout out. Give me a shout. Let's hang out. I can take a train. I'm not coming to meet you in Italy, if I'm in Paris. Like, if you're around Paris or in and around the Euros, anywhere in Germany, and it's convenient for me, and you happen to be in the same place, you know, like, I'm not, what are we doing here? Let's not get crazy. Anyway, I'm fleshing those plans out this week. It's quite exciting because I've put in a lot of work to set this up. So I'm looking forward to it, you know, fruits of my labor. All right, where I was right, where I was wrong. I do this every Monday. I make some calls and, you know, I'm right and I'm wrong. Plenty of both. MKT, where I was right, where I was wrong. Okay, let's get into it. Where I was right. Chelsea are not ready. They lost the FA Cup. Nicholas Jackson, people are making all sorts of excuses. He's not a striker. He came off the left at Villarreal. He's young. I saw Frank Lampard saying technically there were a few mistakes. He took an extra touch when he's through one-on-one. There's the header. There's the other one-on-one chance. He's not good enough. Chelsea aren't ready. It's another loss in a big game. This was what happens with young teams. Cometh the hour, cometh the moment. They weren't ready. Chilwell, why don't you cross it? Who knows if Sterling will finish it anyway. Chelsea not ready. I was dead right. They're not even a top four side. Big trouble for the rest of the season. The season's over. Where I was wrong, Devin Haney lost to King Ryan Garcia. My only problem is you're a scumbag for not making weight. I love boxing. I grew up around boxing. He was a kilogram and a half over the weight. And, you know, when you're fighting at the 140-pound weight, 3 pounds, which is about a kilogram and a half, is an incredible amount. Reason Ryan Garcia is a scumbag is his whole lifestyle leading up to the fight suggested to me that he never intended to make the weight and he didn't care about fighting for the title because he knew he was moving up to 147. And then he comes out and says, oh, we lost. I can't make that weight anyway. I'm moving up. I did not like it. Devin Haney didn't fight very well. I think with Ryan Garcia, they thought it would be easier than it was. And he started coming forward and he got knocked out. And he looked drained. And Garcia was heavier. And in the end, I don't know what Devin Haney was doing in terms of his fight tactics, because the aggression was not his style. So Ryan Garcia got him out of his comfort zone. I was wrong. Garcia beat Devin Haney. Where I was right, Liverpool are back to normal. It's over now. They're out the Europa League. Atalanta did them. They won't win the league. Jurgen Klopp is leaving. It's one title in 30 years. I've been saying it for a while. It's nice story, nice PR, but ultimately in the professional Premier League era, Liverpool are just, they also rants. A good cup team, a good Champions League team, but when it comes to the league, which is where the creme de la creme rise to the top, Liverpool are back to what they are, which is a mediocre club. They'll be a top 8 club again following Jurgen. This was a special era. Still only one title in 30 years. Only one Premier League title ever. It's essentially Leicester City with better PR. Where I was wrong, PSG, they threw to the semi-final. I thought Barcelona had done them, but Mbappe and the boys were sensational and ground down Araujo and Barcelona in that second leg, smashing them 4-1 and going through. I was dead wrong. I thought PSG would collapse and it would be over. Kylian Mbappe has a chance to finally deliver them to the promised land. Dortmund should be a walkover, I think. Dortmund are terrible. Atletico Madrid, how bad did you play? I was wrong though. PSG through to the semi-final of the Champions League, where they'll play Dortmund to meet either Munchen or who's another, or Real Madrid in the final. Where I was right, they've taken away the replays for the FA Cup. It's the right decision. Why are people so caught up in the past? Like, here's the thing. Big consumes small in economy. It's about the money. Cut the crap. It's not about the feel-good stories. There are no life lessons in big business. And why do people care about cute stories? What's good for the Premier League is good for English football. Trust me. I care about the championship because I watch the Premier League. And when teams get relegated, I go, oh, Leeds are a big club. What's happening with them? Leicester are a big club. What's happening with them? So stop whinging about this, because nobody cares about Morecambe getting a replay and an extra £500,000. Nobody cares about that. And hey, guess what? Now you can just get that money anyway. And the replays are so rare. You can just get that money anyway, because that's all it's about. Teams aren't worried about giving their fans an experience. They're worried about the money from replays. So what I would do from the Premier League, give every club, hypothetically, an extra £500,000. There we go. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about having to risk a replay. And you don't even need to make the FA Cup fourth round. There we go. Now everyone's got £500,000 extra. The money which you would have had to waste and pay people and pay the police and rent cleaning and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. Here, it's on the house. Big eats small. Stop doing small things. Stop caring about what... In fact, stop caring about what the bottom half of the Premier League wants. Focus on the Big Ten. Like, from Newcastle upwards, what are they doing? What do they need? What's best for them? Do that. Because big will always eat small. Focus on the big. Stop worrying about small stories. FA Cup replay, stupid. They play too many games anyway already. Especially the top guys who play international football as well. Cut the crap. Definitely the right decision. I've been saying it for years. Why don't they just do this? Magnificent. Love it. Where I was wrong, Man City, they're going to do the FA Cup and League Double. I thought they'd burn out. They aren't going to burn out. They're brilliant. They're the best. They've got 115 charges, but they've assembled the best squad. And this is what happens when you've got two worldy players outside of left back. They haven't had a left back for a long time, since Cancelo left, I think. Yeah, and we know that French guy. Hey, I didn't even talk about him. But I was wrong. Again, he's going to go 4 in a row, and they're going to win the FA Cup as well. They're playing Man United. It's, you know, come on. Everyone watched United against Coventry. I think Man United will get absolutely hammered. And I don't think City will lose another game, because now they don't have Champions League. So they've got no midweek commitments. They are now going to steamroll everyone. Everyone's going to catch it from City, because they are going to be absolutely furious. Absolutely furious that they lost to Real Madrid Man City, double FA Cup, English Premier League.
Wow.
Four in a row. I was dead wrong there. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. MKT at the MKT show. That's the electronic mail if you're 100 years old and you want to send an email. Or like a business person, you know? Maybe you want to show off. Like, oh, look, I work at a big company. I must tell you, I'm very surprised at the types of people that listen to the show. Because I do think maybe wrong. Like, I think I'm an idiot. And I can't imagine like high-level people listening to this. But some of the people that message me, I'm like, holy smokes. Like, you are the CEO of, like, there's some, you know, two CEOs of, in my country, certainly, massive companies that listen to this podcast. And, like, these guys are DMing me saying, Brew, where's the podcast? I'm like, Brew, you run, like, a 2 billion rand a year company. What are you doing waiting for my podcast? What are we doing here? But, listen, football. Football's the one. Football's the one. It doesn't matter what age demographic, what gender demographic, skin color, like, football is the great uniter. It really is the great uniter. It's the most powerful tool in the world. Football is the one. It is the most inclusive tribe in the world. The working class ballet, it's been said by Simon Critchley. It's for football is the only one that's for everyone. It really is. It's ubiquitous everywhere. Everywhere. From CEOs to 10-year-olds. Like, 10-year-olds can't watch golf. You know what I mean? Like, you can't replicate what's happening at the Masters. You can replicate what's happening on a football pitch with five of your mates. It is the one. Football is the one. There is nothing on the planet like it. And that's not just me advocating. I see the numbers. Like, I see the types of people that message me. I'm like, I mean, the one guy is literally the CEO of the second biggest bank in Africa. He's literally the group CEO. I'm like, what is this guy doing messaging me bantering about football? I'm like, Bro, get back to work. And he's got a family, this guy. Three kids. The CEO of the second biggest bank in Africa, not just South Africa, in Africa. That he is the big boy of the whole of Africa. Guy's asking me about my thoughts on where he should put his bet. I'm like, anyway, I love it. MKT at the MKTshow.com. Otherwise, MKT Inspire. Slide in the DMs. Would love to hear your thoughts. Man City fans, Liverpool fans, Man United fans, your thoughts on the Coventry situation. Speaking of, let's finish off on this. I think Man United have to keep Erik ten Hag now. Like, I was up and down about, oh, they're going to sack him, let him go. But this Coventry game, where Man United beat Coventry 4-2 on penalties in the FA Cup semi-final. Man United were 3-0 up, by the way, after 58 minutes. Keep in mind, Coventry are 8th in the championship. So that's the second division, for those who don't know. The Premier League is the big one, the one that everyone knows. And then below that, there's something called the Championship. They are 8th in that. They're probably not even going to get promoted. Man United were 3-0 up after 58 minutes. Then Man United took off 19-year-olds Kobbie Mainoo and Alejandro Garnacho. 19 years old. They put on £85 million signing Antony and the Undertaker, the dead man, Christian Eriksen. Sort of the Danish Jesus, if you will. And I say that because he died and rose again. Kind of an Easter thing. And that's a true story. I'm not being blasphemous. Christian Eriksen did die. But then he rose again. A la Jesus. I'm not being blasphemous. That's what happened, right, with Jesus. And that's what happened with Christian Eriksen. So if you are offended, don't be offended. It's the storylines parallel. You know? I don't know who the Judas Iscariot would be in this case. Good old Judas. Bastard. Anyway, from there, Coventry scored 3 goals. So they took off 2 19-year-olds, put on Christian Eriksen, and £85 million signing Anthony, and Coventry scored 3 goals to make it 3-3. By the way, if you didn't hear me correctly, Man United was 3-0 up with 58 minutes gone. I stopped watching. I thought, oh, it's over. It's Coventry. Went to penalties, Man United won. But here's my question. Why are 19-year-olds carrying your team at Manchester United? It's not like they're not paying the players. The big boys. But Kobbie Mainoo went off. Man United lost all control of the game in the middle there. Bruno, Eriksen, McTominay, what are you guys doing? It's Coventry. You're playing championship midfielders. And then once Garnacho went off, what United lost, because I went back and re-watched the game from the third goal. Because I stopped watching at 3-0. As soon as that third one went in, I stopped watching. But I went back and have since re-watched the whole of the game. Once Garnacho left, what Garnacho gives you is not only does he show, but he's got the bravery to take the physical contact. So he gives you an outlet as Man United to feet or over the top. But also, once he's got the ball, he's really responsible with it. I really like Garnacho as a player. He's so responsible with it. And he makes great decisions. He knows when to go down the line. But more often than not, he knows when to recycle the ball to isolate himself and make it a more favorable one-on-one, you know? Like, he's so smart with the ball. It's the opposite of Marcus Rashford. Like, what is going on with Rashford? Is it in Rashford's contract that he has to play? Because there's no way a man of the intelligence of Erik ten Hag, the football IQ of Erik ten Hag, he's a world-class coach, can't see what we're seeing. He sees it. It must be in his contract. I'm sorry. It must be in his contract. Marcus Rashford is the most selfish player since Mo Salah. And I can take Mo Salah because of its production tolerance world. I can tolerate Mo Salah because I've been getting 25 goals a season for the last 6 seasons. So I don't mind Mo Salah. And actually, you know, Mo Salah, as selfish as he is, he will make the right decision, by the way. Because when Mo Salah is selfish, is generally 65-70% of the time, he's having a rip at the goal and it's a great save. You know, and there were shots getting through. Like when Rashford is passing, he's gone down a blind alley and essentially he has to toe poke it because the defenders have closed him down because he's cut inside and everyone knows what he's going to do. But he's making the wrong decision 90% of the time, Marcus Rashford. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Why is the level dropping so far for 19-year-old and you're the highest paid player at the club? Bruno Fernandes, Bruno Fernandes' job is to do what Kobbie Mainoo does. As an 8-10 hybrid, he should be like Iniesta, like Xavi used to do. Bruno should be grooming Mainoo to come through and say, this is how you retain the game. This is how you're responsible with the ball. But all Bruno Fernandes does, and I think this is why his stats are inflated, is all he does is those ridiculous Hollywood passes. So it looks like he creates a lot of chances. He doesn't really. Man, he gives away the ball a lot. But Mainoo is so controlled. You know, he works it in the midfield, works it nicely up the field, makes the right decision, gives that midfield some shape. Good physicality in the tackle. Bruno Fernandes, what is going on? But there was something more worrying for me in extra time. McTominay's whole thing is supposed to be like he's the Iron Man, you know, run all day. He requested to come off because of cramps. Rashford also quit, by the way. I think what worries me the most is both of them quit. Don't tell me they're injured. If they start on Wednesday, right, because Man United have a game in 3 days' time. Rashford and McTominay quit. And I think they were scared of penalties. I think they were scared to mess up. I think they're scared to get criticized. I genuinely think that's what happened there. Because listen, I've played football. I know those emotions. I know when I know the type of players that are scared of the big moments. I think Rashford and McTominay ran from penalties and making a mistake. Because McTominay's whole thing is meant to be his Iron Man. Why is he going off because of cramp? Just walk it off. That's a pain tolerance thing. Cramp is a pain tolerance thing. Trust me, I've run 100 milers. I've run 100 Ks. You can run with cramp. Yeah, like you can run through that. Cramp is not debilitating. It's not. It is not. Sorry. I've done too many. I've hiked the Drakensberg by myself 6 or 7 times, 200 kilometers, all alone. I know what pushing through, I'm no longer an elite athlete like I was when I was younger, but I understand going to that threshold and I understand cramp. Trust me, a lot. I run a lot. I've been running a lot for a decade. Like, I've run through cramp in mountains. Don't tell me the very fittest, finest athletes in the world cannot for 15 minutes run through cramp. McTominay quit. Rashford quit. Rashford's not injured. Remember, he got tackled by that guy and then he started limping. He does not have a hamstring. If Marcus Rashford starts in 3 days' time, and I'm a Man United fan, I'll be absolutely fuming. If McTominay starts in 3 days' time, or is even on the bench, because if you're injured, you're injured. Don't tell me you quit. They quit. Could have lost that game. But here's my point. 19-year-olds shouldn't be running Manchester United. Not when you're paying Rashford, Casemiro, and Bruno what you're paying them. What this tells me is you've done it the wrong way. What you need to do is an arsenal. Just cut the crap now. Rashford's got to go. Bruno's got to go. Wan-Bissaka's got to go. Maguire's got to go. Casemiro's got to go. I've told people this. Until you start to get it right, and I called it with Arsenal, by the way. If you go and listen to the old podcast episodes from 4 years ago, I said Arsenal were 5 years ago, 5 years ago, when Arteta came in. Not because I'm smart, it's because I've seen this before. I've seen how the winning cycle works. Man United haven't started their cycle. And it should worry Man United, right? That Chelsea got the jump on them. Because Chelsea have the talent in-house. They just need to organize it now. Because what you've got to remember is that Arsenal went through the pain of you're going to have to go and buy the players, make some mistakes, right? And you're going to have to buy heavy now because Newcastle are here. They're going to compete with you. But what Man United are going to have to do is now go and invest in the market. And it's going to take 4 or 5 years to get rid of, because remember, part of the transfer isn't just buying. You got to get rid of the dirt. But those ones have to go now. Rashford, Bruno, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Casemiro. And you can't worry about the results for the next 3 years if you're United. Now, for Man United fans, that'll be difficult to hear. But if you'd done that straight after Fergie, you wouldn't be here. Arsenal did it 5 years ago, what they had to do. And because remember, Arsenal delayed it for too long with the Wenger, and then they had Mr. Good Evening, who's doing very well at Aston Villa. Doesn't correlate to him doing well at Arsenal, by the way. It's two different jobs. I don't think he's a big club manager. But anyway, Good Evening. Arsenal started 5 years ago. United haven't started. And what you're learning, if you're a United fan, is when you spend big, you can make mistakes. So this is why you need to start now, by get rid of these guys and go young. Do what Arsenal did. Do what Chelsea did. And it sounds crazy with Chelsea, because Chelsea won the Champions League 2.5 years ago. So Chelsea are not in the same situation as Man United. Man United have been out of it now for a decade. Man United are in big, big trouble. And what they're going to do, if they're not careful, is they're going to become Arsenal. Because I'm telling you now, let's say they do all of the things I've said. Even from when they start, so let's say they start next season, they are still 5 years away then from competing. Because that's just how long it takes. Because Arsenal's players are only going to mature, by the way. Chelsea's players, year one's done now. Next season's going to be year two. And then Cole Palmer's going to be 24, 25, going into his peak in 4 or 5 years' time. And then you're in trouble because also that Chelsea squad, the age profile of the squad's the same. Look at Man United. It's 19 and Rashford's 26. Bruno's 30. Casemiro's 33. You know, so the balance of the Man United squad, the age profile's wrong. So even let's say Garnacho and Mainoo become Ballon d'Or level within the next 2 years. Who's the centre-backs? Because remember, Varane's old. Maguire's old. Remember, the great thing with Alex Ferguson was he always made sure the age profile of the team was equal, and then there were a few elder statesmen. But remember when Ronaldo and them won it, they were between 23 and 29. So Rooney, Tevez and Ronaldo, they were all at their peak together with Michael Carrick, with Patrice Evra, with Vidic, they were all between, say, 23 and 29. So it was that similar kind of age profile. And then you had, you know, your Gary Neville's, you had those elder guys. Paul Scholes was in the mix. You know, you had your Berbatovs in the earlier squad. So you had those elder guys. Fergie was absolutely brilliant at that. You had your John O'Shea's, your experienced team guys. But in general, the core, the stars of the team with a similar age profile. Look at the age profile of Man United. It's all over the place. It doesn't feel like they've recruited for a plan. You can't. This wasn't planned, by the way. Mainoo wasn't supposed to play, but Casemiro's washed. Rashford's rubbish. And Anthony had his off-the-field stuff. They discovered Garnacho by mistake. Garnacho shouldn't be starting. That was not the plan. Rasmus Højlund shouldn't be the star. So you've got those three 19-year-olds. And then you've got 32-year-olds. What about the midfield? Mainoo can't do it himself. Remember, Mainoo still has to grow. You have to grow into a Man United shirt. Garnacho will take time. He'll be up and down, by the way. Next year may not be this. Not because he's not a quality player. Because young people have to grow. He's literally, physically he'll grow. Then remember what happens at Man United. You start to be on the billboards. This is where Cristiano Ronaldo was unbelievable. When you're the guy on the billboards, then you have to take all the interviews. By the way, these are roles these young kids have to grow into. You've seen Garnacho getting in trouble for the social media stuff. That's stuff you have to grow into, because once you become the star at Man United, it's a whole different animal. Man United is not play. These youngsters should be protected by Bruno Fernandes and these guys. But it's about performance on the field. Man United are in big, big trouble. For me, you've got to get rid of the players. And they showed you that they quit on the club. You can't have 19-year-olds being your starters. You should be bringing on the 19-year-olds, not taking them off. Garnacho and Mainoo should have been coming on at 3-0, not going off to be rested. And even then, McTominay and Rashford quit. And Bruno's just not good enough. I'm sorry. Like, you got to see, like, wow, what a big difference between Mainoo and Bruno. And don't tell me they're different positions. Like, people tell me this all the time. Bruno Fernandes must have the discipline. If he's a £350,000 a week player, have the discipline to move from the 10 position to the 8 position and just pass the ball around. Stop doing Hollywood passes. Maybe it's asking too much because I'm used to Paul Scholes at Man United. Scholes could play 6, 8, 10, no problem. Just put me there. I'm not running too much and I don't have to run because I don't give the ball away. That should be Bruno. But no, that's Mainoo. And if I'm Man United, I get rid of the players and say, Eric, let's do this thing. And buy the guys you want with the correct attitude. We have to forego results over the next 3 years, because these guys aren't serious. Why is Mainoo and Garnacho our star players? Why are they the most serious people at the club? Why is Rasmus Højlund setting the tempo for our club? They should be looked after, being groomed, being brought through by these elder statesmen. Marcus Rashford shouldn't be sulking and running off because he's scared of the pressure moment. I think that's what happened. Go and look at Rashford limping off. He's fine. He's fine. He got embarrassed by the slide tackle. The guy slide tackled him. And then Rashford didn't like it. And then he... By the way, the guy didn't even touch him. And he stays down. I'm like, Rashford, what are you doing? Track back. But he's not a Man United player. So not everyone's a Man United player. And there's too many now where they blame the manager too many times in a row. You can't keep doing that. And these 19-year-olds have shown you Rashford and Bruno are not the guy. Arsenal did it. Arsenal had to go through it. Remember, 5 years. Remember, Arteta out, top eight. He was eighth those first two seasons. Arteta out. Look now. But before you can bring in the new kids, right, you have to get rid of the old. Because remember, these players now have gotten rid of two managers. You remember Roy Keane saying, I've seen these players. They've thrown the manager under the bus. They'll do it again. Remember when all the United fans were angry when Roy Keane said that? After Ollie. Look now. After Ranieri. Look now. For some of these players, by the way, so for Luke Shaw and for Marcus Rashford, this would be their fourth manager. Because they got rid of Mourinho. They got rid of Ollie. They got rid of Ranieri. And now it's ETH. It would be the fourth manager this squad, for those two in particular. But for the other guys, they've gotten rid of three managers. Maguire's not the future. Wan-Bissaka is not the future. Rashford is not the future. I'm sorry, 26, and he's still making juvenile errors. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your thoughts. If you're a Man United fan, what would you do? Because now it's crunch time. What do you do? Who should be sold and who should stay? MKT Inspires, MKT at the MKT Show. Have a fantastic week. Whatever you're up to. I'm going to do some exercise this week. Got some planning to do. Got some exciting meetings. You know? Be back during the week with the pod. Got some exciting stuff. Got some exciting stuff planned this week. Got a cool week coming up. So whatever you're doing, I hope you have a great week. Hope you are loved. It's becoming winter in Johannesburg now. Or it's certainly autumn. I mean, it's balmy. It's warm now. But we're getting into... So maybe what you need to do, start planning your hug buddy. Because you're going to have to hug people in winter. It's cold. It's cold. You know what I mean? Unless you got a mink blanket. I got a mink blanket for my mother last year. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice. It's not something which I would buy. I'm not really a mink blanket guy. But it is very nice. My mom actually used to have a side business selling like bedding and stuff. So she knows all the quality stuff, you know. And she lives in Egypt for a long time. So she knows, like, she likes it. She likes going to the markets. And if, you know, she always like it makes me feel like, oh, feel the silk. I'm like, Mom, I've got Pakistani cotton. That's my bedding. I've got Pakistani cotton. It's apparently the best. It is very comfortable. I've slept at other people's houses. I'm like, oh, you live like a peasant. But it doesn't mean you need to come sleep in my house. Like, it's fine. This is how you live. I don't want to show you what real life is. Anywho, you might need someone to hug because it's starting to get brrrr. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, I am the hell out of here.